Today will be a very topical message. We'll jump around and look at different passages. Today will be the last in our series on the whole. Next week I'll begin a new series that I just have simply entitled How To. How To. Say how to what? How to read your Bible. How to come to church. How to know that you're saved. How to be filled with the Spirit. How to know what the will of God is. How to strengthen your faith. A bunch of how-tos that we'll look at over the next several weeks. And so if you are a person who likes to learn how to do something, be here next week. I have a little cliche or a little philosophy or formula that I use often, and that's this: motivation without instructions leads to frustration. So if you're going to motivate me to do something, tell me how to do it. If you motivate me and don't teach me, you're going to frustrate me, and then I'm not going to want to do it. And some people try to lead by motivation, and I think that that's important. I think we need to be motivated to do things, but there's a lot of folks who just don't know how to do something, and they need to learn the how-tos. And I think some people want to read the Bible, but they read the Bible and get frustrated because they don't understand it. And so I'm going to teach you how to read your Bible, how to understand it, so you can get the most out of your Bible reading. We'll deal with that topic next week. So I encourage you to be faithful to the Lord's house. Isaiah chapter 49, I just really want to launch off of one phrase, if you will. Usually don't do that, but I want to do that for this message. In verse number 21, it says, Then shalt thou say in thine heart, Who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children? I want to give you today four reasons why our homes are falling apart. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to just be interactive with people and see that our homes are falling apart. Before I do that, what's an update on Tony? I know some folks were asking. We can just say it publicly. What's the latest? He's off oxygen now most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah.
Okay. Continue to pray for Tony. I see he's over at Cedar Crest Hospital, Lehigh Valley Hospital over there on Cedar Crest. Are they looking at a timeline for when they may let him out? Or no?
Maybe tomorrow.
All right, keep praying. We need to continue to pray for Brother Tony and his health. Seeing as our homes are in such bad shape, and I believe the onus is on the Christian home to be setting the example. I believe the onus is on us to accept the responsibility and lead by example. I think one of the reasons why our society is as bad as it is because our churches are as bad as they are.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't have much faith in church. They don't have much faith in my position as a pastor. They don't have much faith in individuals that call themselves Christians because they've seen way too many that are complete hypocrites and live lives that are inconsistent with the Word of God. Now, let me say this too. I don't believe that anyone that's out there in the world expects you and I to be perfect. They don't even expect themselves to be perfect. What they have a problem with is when supposed Christians walk around like they're holier than thou and then don't live what they say. And so again, it's not about perfection as much as it's about direction. We need to be heading in a certain direction that people can look at us and realize, hey, they're not perfect, but they have something that I want. And it's not a list of standards, which are fine, but it's a heart relationship with Jesus Christ that starts the work on the inside. That's what they want to see. I heard a preacher say one time, if we can show society that we are good with our finances, good in our marriages, and good at raising our children, they'll want what you have. So we need to be focusing on those areas, as well as, of course, obviously, our walk with God. Four reasons why our homes are falling apart today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. Lord, I pray that, Father, we'd see today, Lord, that we just need to be obedient to the Word of God, follow the Word of God, do what it says. Lord, just leave the results up to you. Because, Lord, you promise to bless when we're obedient. Father, we need to get in line with Scripture. Give us wisdom, Lord. Father, I pray that husbands wouldn't be looking at their wives and thinking how much they need it, or wives looking at their husbands, or children and parents, or vice versa, Lord, that are looking and say, oh, they need this. Father, I pray that each one of us, Father, will just look in the mirror at ourselves, Father, knowing our own heart what changes we need to make. Lord, give me wisdom as I preach. Lord, give the folks here today wisdom, Father, and attentiveness as they pay attention. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Although we look at our homes as being in bad shape today, our Christian homes are not much better. There was a time when we would look at the world and say 60 to 70% of marriages are ending in divorce, but Christian homes are between 40 and 50% that are ending in divorce. So we don't have much bragging rights. Sometimes we have this mentality that because we're saved, we're guaranteed to have this great home. And that is completely false. Just as much as you have to maintain a car and do stuff on a car to keep it running smoothly, your marriage and your child rearing also takes work and takes patience and takes investment and takes time and takes consistency. It's sad that our little ones want to, not that they want to do this is sad, but at the end they want to sing specials. Man, every young person in here would love to be able to come up here and sing a song in church, and they do it quite often. They want to go to church. They want to do right for the most part. They want to read and memorize the Bible. And as I was in my office this morning, I could hear Mrs. Mayfus teaching her class of young people and hear them answering, giving the Bible answers. And Mrs. Mayfus don't play around. She even throws out trick questions just to see if they're paying attention. And they were even catching those this morning. Matter of fact, she asked one question, and it had the word apple in it about Adam and Eve eating the apple. And I'm in my office, and I opened up the door, and I went, that wasn't an apple. But I didn't say it out loud. I was going to. And then Hannah raised her hand, and she says, there wasn't an apple. And Mrs. Mitch goes, you win. And I was like, oh, man, what are you teaching our kids? It was one of those trick questions, and they caught it. You know, somewhere along the way, we see those young people, and we see them reading their Bible, and we see them praying, and we see them wanting to be in church and wanting to sing the songs. And we know in this church, the young people sing the loudest. Yeah. They get excited about it. But somewhere along the way, we have what this verse says, we've lost our children. We've lost our children. Some families, maybe even here today, you have unsaved children. Maybe you have children that have just rebelled against the Word of God, gotten away from God. Children that want nothing to do with what's right. Children that want nothing to do that's honoring Christ. But yet they were raised that way. They know what the Bible says. You could have a conversation with them and they'll give you Bible answers that know what they ought to be doing. I believe we as parents need to take a good hard look within ourselves and see, am I pleasing God? Am I obedient to the Word of God? Far too long, our churches have sat by and watched our children go to the devil. Far too long, our churches have sat by and we blame the church and we blame our environment. And, you know, one of the reasons I believe that it's this way is pastors aren't willing to preach on the home much anymore. They're afraid that they might offend the dad and the dad might quit coming to church and there goes money in the offering plate. Hey, around here, everybody's fair game. You want to know why? Because I don't know how much you put in the offering plate, so I don't care who you are. You're going to get to preaching. Dads need it. Moms need it. Children need it. Not only are pastors not willing to preach on the home, but parents aren't willing to fix the home. I've been preaching for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks now on the home. How many of these principles have you put into practice in your home and made changes in your home? And said, I want a home that honors God. Hey, mom and dad, if you want a home that honors God, you start honoring God. You start doing what's right. You start leading by example. The result is our kids are worldly. Our kids are unsaved. Our kids are full of bitterness. So how did they get that way? Is it because of their friends? Possibly. That could be a factor in it. Is it because of our music and our society? Is it because of our culture? Is it because of the TV, the environment that we're in, our school system? All of those things can play a factor, no doubt about it. But I want to give you four Bible reasons why I believe today we're losing our children. Number one, misplaced roles. Misplaced roles. Now, let me say, my goal here is not to offend. The Word of God does that all by itself. I don't need to add to it. So I'm going to say some things that are completely contrary to what society says. But last I checked, the Christian doesn't follow society, they follow the Word of God.
Amen.
So I don't care what the White House says. I don't care what laws are passed. I don't care what your great-grandma taught you, or Sister Ethel, or somebody else, your neighbor. I don't care what some professor says. I care what God says.
Amen.
Misplaced roles. The Bible says in Esther 1:20, we're going to look at a couple of verses here. Matter of fact, I'm going to recruit some of you to help me. Brother Ben, why don't you get to Ephesians chapter 5? I'll give you the verses in a minute. Brian, why don't you go to Colossians chapter 3? Brother Glenn, 1 Timothy chapter 3. Angel, you're still here. Titus chapter 2. And then Chad, 1 Peter chapter 3. Let me read, while they're turning to their verses, let me read to you another verse. The Bible says in Esther 1:20, and when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both great and small. Honor. Wives giving to the husbands. When we talk about misplaced roles, let me deal with the wives first. It says here that wives are to give to their husbands honor. The word honor means preciousness, costliness, a precious vessel. You say, how do I do that? If I'm a wife, how do I give honor to my husband? By the way, again, a little rabbit trail here. If you're not married, they're not your hubby.
Yeah, that's right.
It makes me puke on Facebook. My hubby. Some guy I've been dating for a month who's 16 and just got hair under his armpit. My hubby. Give me a break. Get married and then you can call him your hubby all you want. Get married and you can call her your wifey all you want. Until then, it's just a dating relationship, and I won't even get into that message today. How do I do that? How do I honor them? What is my role? Ephesians 5, read verse 22. Yes, sir, Brother Ben.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord.
And then skip down to verse 33.
Nevertheless, let every one of you, in particular so, love his wife even as himself. And the wife see that she reverence her husband.
That's your role. Reverence your husband. Respect your husband. You say respect is something earned. Not in a marriage relationship, it's not. Because if you're going to use that line on your husband, then he can say, you know what, then love needs to be earned too, so I'm not going to love you back. And that's the way marriages work today, and that's why they're not working very good. It's unconditional respect, unconditional love. God commands you to give it. You say, what about if my husband? God will deal with your husband. You just obey God. I never said it was easy. But it is biblical. And when you decide to start following the Bible, it will work. Sometimes you just got to swallow your pride and stop sucking on your thumb and pouting because somebody's not being the right person in the relationship. Why don't you just be the right person in the relationship and let God bless that? Colossians 3:18.
Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord.
Boy, man, feminists hate that word. Submit yourselves to your own husbands. Swallow, you'll get it down. It's Bible. We'll talk about it more in a minute. 1 Timothy 3:11.
Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things.
Titus chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Who did I give that to?
That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed.
Read that. Read those last two phrases again that started with obedient.
Obedient to their own husbands.
Keep going.
That the word of God be not blasphemed.
When wives don't obey their husbands, you're blaspheming the word of God. He read it. God said it. He read it. I tell you what, we got God's word being blasphemed on a regular basis in our Christian homes. 1 Peter 3, who had that? Do verse 1 and then verse 5.
Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection to their own husbands.
So we know it's not just one verse that we're just pulling out of context here. We've seen it in many verses. You see the two words there repeated often, submit, subjection. What does that mean, to obey? To submit to one's control, to yield to one's advice. That's your role in your marriage, women. I know. I know Rachel Maddow will not like that. But it's Bible. Now, lest you think, well, you know, men walk around, bless God, I'm the head of this home. Not with that attitude, according to the Word of God. What's it say about the husbands? Let's look at some other verses. Genesis 3:16. Somebody volunteer to read that one. Brian, all right. 1 Corinthians 11:3. Someone read for Brother Glenn. Ephesians 5:23. Give me another volunteer. Chad. And Chad, you were just in 1 Timothy, right? No. Who was in 1 Timothy? You were. Why don't you do 1 Timothy 3:11?
I just did that.
I'm sorry, 1 Timothy 3. Yeah, that's all of them. I'll use you in a minute, Chad. Hang on. Why don't you do 1 Timothy 3? I'll tell you what verse in a minute. Go ahead and read Genesis 3:16.
Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee.
1 Corinthians 11:3. Is that what you raised your hand for?
Yeah, you were giving that to me, and you said no, I can take it.
All right, go ahead and do 1 Timothy 3. Chad, you look up 1 Corinthians 11:3. Glenn has no idea what he's supposed to do. Are you in 1 Timothy?
Yeah.
Okay, chapter 3,
yeah.
Verse 4, and verse 12.
Verse 4 and what? 12.
Verse 12.
Okay.
Can't give you too many things.
Well, his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Let the deacons be husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well.
All right. Now, Chad, you got 1 Corinthians 11:3?
Yes.
Go ahead.
Okay. So, have you know that the head of every man is Christ? Head of the woman is a man,
yes,
and the head of Christ is God.
Did I give Ephesians 5:23 to anybody?
No.
All right, I'll read that. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. In all those verses, we saw a couple of key words. We saw the words rule or ruler, and we saw the word head. Those words simply mean to have dominion, to reign, chief, and I like this one, Master Lord. I keep telling my wife to call me Master Lord, she don't listen. Bless God. Now, we'll deal with this. We're going to break this down in a minute, lest you think, you women think, man, this church is crazy. We just read Bible verses. Alright? We saw what God said. That's what God said. Children, your turn. Give me a volunteer to read Exodus 20, verse 12. Brian, give me a volunteer to read Deuteronomy 5:16. Angel, Mark 7:10. Courtney, was your hand up? Why don't you look up Mark 7:10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1. You should have that memorized. Emma. And then Colossians 3:20. Austin. Colossians 3:20. These verses are for the children. Ready? Exodus 20:12.
Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Deuteronomy 5:16.
Honor thy father and thy mother, as the Lord thy God hath commanded thee, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee.
Mark 7:10.
For Moses said, honor thy father and thy mother, and whosoever curses father or mother, let him die of death.
Let them die of death. I like that. Ephesians 6:1.
Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right.
Colossians 3:20.
Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord.
You read a whole bunch of verses there, and we got two words. Honor and obey. That's to listen, to obey, to submit to. Also means to be a burden bearer. As your parents get older, when it talks about honoring your parents, it's children's responsibility to take care of their parents. Be a burden bearer. You know, and we'll get up in arms about music, we'll get up in arms about TV and bad friends, but you know, some of us really need to get our houses in order. Because there's too many misplaced roles in the home. Everybody has a role in the home, and the sooner we place ourselves in our God-given role, the better off our homes will be. Dad's the head of the house, period. Dad's the head of the house. Someone share a story where the husband was bragging about how he was the head of the home, and his wife looked over him and said, yeah, but I'm the neck that turns the head. The wife is to submit to and obey her husband in the Lord, and the kids are to be in obedience to both. Houses are falling apart because we've confused the roles. It may not be popular today. This sermon is not going to be in Joel Osteen's next book on Newsweek or something. But it's Bible.
Amen.
That's one reason why our homes are falling apart. Because everybody's getting mad at everybody else's role. In our society today, it's this way. Mom runs the home. Children submit to mom. And dad submits to everybody. That's why almost every 30-minute show that's on primetime TV, the dad's nothing but a bumbling buffoon. That's why shows like Bart Simpson make me sick, because the dad's a loser, and Bart Simpson's the smartest one in the family, and he needs a Board of Education applied to his seat of learning. We laugh at those roles where dad is just an idiot. That's why we're losing our families, because we let shows like that tell us how we're to raise our families and how to run the family. Yeah, let me give you the second reason why our homes are falling apart. Now I used, I can't even think of the word now, alliteration. So you might not know what some of these words mean, but I'll explain them. Point number two, why are we losing our homes? Malefic rulers. Malefic rulers. In other words, an ungodly tyrant is not a leader in the home. An ungodly tyrant, by Angel, by Graciela, we love you guys. Be safe, okay? Love you, man. That God doesn't honor. So that husband says, hey, you read the verse. Bless God, woman, I'm the head of this home. No, you, sir, are an idiot. And if you have to remind your wife that you're the head of the home, guess what? You're not the head of the home. For 12 years, I don't walk around here going, bless God, I'm the pastor of this church. I say what goes on around here. Now, there'd be deeper problems if I had to go around reminding everybody of that. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 4, it talks about how husbands are to lead. It says, with gravity. To lead well. With respect and honor. Husbands, the way you lead your home, the way you're the head of your home, do you do it with respect and honor? If you're not going to talk to your wife with honor and with respect, you're not the leader that God has called you to be. And we do it in our businesses, and we do it with our friends, and we do it in other areas. We put our foot down, and we get all tough and bow out our chest and bless God. I like what Kurt Scally said. Usually when a preacher says, bless God, he follows it with something that has nothing to do with the Word of God. In Ephesians 5:23 and in verse 25, we're told, husbands, to love your wives as Christ loved the church. Do you find anywhere where Christ treats the church the way some jerks treat their wives and their children? No. Because it says he gave his life for the church. He sacrificed for the church. He nurtured the church. Husbands, lead with godliness. If you're not going to lead with godliness, then you're not a leader. Lead with faithfulness. If you're not going to be faithful, you're not the leader. Lead in integrity. If you're not going to lead in integrity, your homes and your children, then you are not a leader. We don't need men that walk around and think they're the man because they can bench press this or they can play a sport. We need men that are leading our homes by saying, we're going to church. This is what the Bible says. We're going to honor God. I'm going to keep my commitments. I'm going to treat you with respect and honor. I'm going to follow the Word of God. I'm going to get on my knees and pray because I need Jesus Christ every single day. We're going to do things honestly, and we're going to pay our bills on time, and we're going to treat people fairly. We're not going to do things dishonestly. Lead in consistency. Don't be all on fire for God one week, and then not on fire for God the next week, and then a month later you're going to be in church, and then 2 months later you're going to be out of church, and there's no consistency, and bless God, we're going to read our Bible, and then you quit reading after 3 days. And your children look at that and say, yeah, okay, now it happened. Yeah, this is great. Okay, now what's he doing? Yeah, you're killing your children. You're destroying your home. You're confusing your wife. You rule your house like the Bible says, because you will stand before God for that. My wife's not going to answer to God for how she ruled the house. I'm going to answer to God for how I ruled the house.
That's right.
We have way too many lace on their underwear dads who let their kids and mom tell them what's going to happen. Hey, if evil's coming into your house, it's your responsibility to get it out.
Amen.
Your job to keep the wrong music out of your house, the wrong crowd out of your house, the wrong influence out of your house. It's your job, Dad. You ought to stand guard on your house and say, Satan, you're not coming in here without a fight. You're not getting my wife. You're not getting my children. I don't care what society says. I'm going to stand for God. I'm going to lead by example. And as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As Christ is the head of the church. That's how you're to love your wife. A man loves, a man sacrifices, a man keeps pure, a man nourishes, a man sanctifies, a man cherishes his wife in the same way that Christ did it to the church. The Bible says, fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. Ephesians 6:4. Your job is not to frustrate your children and make them angry on purpose because you have a burr up your saddle. Because you had a bad day at work. Because your pet rock died on the way home. Because you got a flat tire in your car. Because you're starting to get gray hair or no hair. Because you put on 5 pounds. Because somebody stole your wallet. Because somebody cut you off in traffic. Because your wife is mad at you. And any other stupid excuse that we use and then we take it out on our families. That is straight out of hell. That is sin. That is wrong. That is unbiblical. You're not a leader. You're out of control. You're a little boy who needs to learn to grow up. Rulers. Yeah, God called you to rule. Called you to lead. He called you to do it by example and to do it the way Christ did. Not walking around putting your foot down and demanding, bless God, I'm the boss, I want my dinner ready at this time, I want it this way, and it better be on the table when I get there, and my slippers better. You, sir, are a creep. That's killing our homes. Christian men that walk around like they're God's gift to a family. No, sir, you're a servant to that family. Serve. I tell you what, when you come home from work, sir, you make dinner for your family. You tell your wife to lay that on the couch and relax. After she passes out from you talking like that. I'm the one who brings home the bacon. I'm the one that brings home the bacon in this home. What do you do all day? You just sit at home with the kids. I'm sure she'd love to trade for one day. Just for you to see. There's a third reason why our homes are falling apart. Mutinous ribs. Mutinous ribs. Say, what in the world? I like barbecue sauce in my ribs. What is mutinous? Is that like mucus? That's gross. Mucus on your ribs. Mutinous ribs. There's nothing more damaging in a home and a marriage than a wife who goes against the authority of her husband and constantly runs him down. Too many wives bringing mutiny into our homes because they watched Oprah. Because they watched Sally, Jesse, Raphael, Mackenzie, Fluid, Mark, John, 17 other names. Is she even on TV anymore? Thank God. Turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I don't even want to know what Glenn's back there talking about. I know it ain't Bible, I can guarantee you that. First Timothy chapter 2, look at verse 11. Let the women, oh, I don't want you to miss it, so hurry up and turn there. Let the women learn in silence with all subjection.
Amen.
He's so brave when Pat's in the nursery. He is so brave when she's downstairs. I hope she's got the speaker turned on. Verse 12, but I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence, for Adam was first born, then Eve, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. A sign of a good wife is control of her mouth. Yeah. That's why it says, let the woman learn in silence. Again, let's not twist scripture here. Let's not play twisted scripture. Doesn't mean your wives aren't allowed to talk ever and all that kind of stuff. It's not what it's teaching here. But a woman needs to be in control of her mouth. Because women are much more inclined to say exactly what they think about you when they want to. Say, what do you mean by that? Well, wives, do you tear your husband down in front of your kids? You're destroying authority in their lives. Your children are too young and immature to understand the difference between what dad's doing and just other authority. That's why we have a society that has no respect for authority today. Hey, you may not agree with everything that I preach, but can I help you for the sake of your children? Don't run me down in front of them.
Amen.
You're not helping them.
Right.
And if you have a little bit of character, come talk to me about it. Because I guarantee you, if I got a problem with you, I'm coming to you.
Amen.
Do you protest your husband's biblical decisions? Honey, I want to go back to church on Sunday night and Thursday night. I think that's where we need to be. I'm not going! I'm tired! You go! If you love me, you stay home! These are things that have actually been said. God help us. children, if that's what Dad says, that's what we're doing, because he's the man of this home and he's following God's leading, and we're going to get behind Dad. God will bless that kind of home. Do you use his past as leverage to get your way? Remember all those years you made my life miserable? Who do you think? I'm going to submit to you now. Now you want to get right with God. I wanted to get right with God 15 years ago. No, now you want to get right with God. That's great. That's really going to help. Do you quietly side with the children? You're killing your children when you do that. I've seen it for years. Hey, just come here. I know what Dad said. Dad's a jerk. Come here. It's okay. You're killing your children. Do you make excuses for his strictness? Most dads, generally speaking, are going to be a little bit more stricter than mom is. He's not killing your children. I think of my mom. My man, bless God, my mom ran, what do they call that when you run in between? There's a word. Cross. Interference. There were several times my mom ran interference when my father was coming after me. And I thank God because I think he was going to kill me. No, but looking back, I'm glad that there were that 99% of the time, if not 100% of the time, because I can remember every time she said, she backed away and let the beatings commence. And I don't know if I'd be behind a pulpit today if my mom coddled me and always ran interference for my father's disciplinary actions.
Yeah.
I'll explain more about that in a moment. Proverbs 21:19. Let's go there. You guys are having so much fun so far. Proverbs. The kids are all excited. Don't worry. You're next. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21:19. Proverbs 21:19. It is better to dwell in the wilderness than with a contentious and an angry woman.
Amen.
There's another one. It's better to dwell in the corner of a rooftop than with an angry woman. I think of a good friend of mine, Brother Reno Likings, who sings a song, added one verse in the Bible, a continual drop on a rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. And then he sings it. They both go drip, 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 drip. Nobody wants to be around these brawling, angry, contentious women. It doesn't say wife, it says women. In general. Why are they that way? Well, it could be because of an action by her husband, but talking about her being contentious and angry and brawling, that's from her mouth. And any husband who's been around that kind of a wife doesn't want to be anywhere near her. That's why they go away. And when the wives are that way, you're destroying the entire house. You're practicing mutiny. The reason why I call it a mutinous rib, in case you didn't get that, God created woman out of Adam's rib. Work with me here. Always, wives, always side with principle, not personality. Some wives treat their families the way liberal pastors treat their churches. You'd rather everybody get along than stand for what's right. No, we're going to stand for what's right. If you love it when I preach from the pulpit, try living it at home. I appreciate the amens while I'm preaching. I don't appreciate when I have to counsel you because you're not putting any of it into practice. How to handle the differences then? If I don't agree with my husband and what he's doing or how he's acting, what do? I'm glad you asked. Number one, if you disagree with him, speak to him in private. Speak to him in private. If you disagree with me, whoever you are, come to me in private.
Amen.
Because the minute you make a scene out of it, you're asking for trouble. And you're doing it out of pride, not out of the Holy Spirit's leading. And so if you disagree with the decision or a choice that your husband made, you wait till he's done, maybe even a little bit later, and you carefully, calmly, soft answer, turn up the way you're at, say, baby, sweet doll with huge biceps. You're so much better looking than Brad Pitt. Honey.
Master.
Master Lord. Can I have a word with you? Not, you and me got problems in the room now. Do not disagree with them publicly. Why? Because it has never turned out better by disagreeing with him publicly and challenging his decisions publicly. It's never gone good. I don't care who they are, it's never gone good. Number two, if he needs to correct it, let him face the family without you putting him in his place. He's the head of the home. Last I checked, if he's saved, he got the Holy Spirit too. Before you're willing to correct him, have you prayed for him? If he needs to correct it, if there's something that you brought to his attention in private and you knew he was wrong, let him pull the family together. If he's a leader, he'll do this because biblical leaders lead with integrity. Lead with godliness. He'll stand up in front of his family and say, listen, children, daddy was wrong when he did this. Daddy was wrong when he said this. And I need your forgiveness. I want to make it right because all of us as Christians, when we do wrong, we need to make it right. When we hurt somebody or offend somebody or do something wrong. Never, number three, never, never, capital N, capital E, capital V, capital E, capital R, never, ever, 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 are you getting the point yet? Ever, ever, criticize him publicly. I wouldn't give a dime for a woman that runs her husband down in front of other people. When you do that, you do know the Bible says you're one flesh. A woman or a husband who does that to their spouse is only admitting to everybody that they have problems with their own selves. Because a husband that runs down his wife or a wife that runs down her husband is just simply admitting their own faults and failures in the relationship. So every time you tear down your spouse, you're actually just admitting that truth about you. Don't do it. Why would you want to do it? How is that godly? How does that help? How does that strengthen the home? How does that help the children? It doesn't at all. Every man in here who's married will agree to the fact, if my wife criticized me publicly, yeah, that really strengthened our relationship. That made me want to read my Bible more, take her out on a date. No, it's never worked that way. Number four, the kids ought to know that you're a team. Kids ought to know, I'm not coming between mom and dad. We teach our kids, if you ask mom something or dad something by themselves and they say no and then you come and ask the other one the same question, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. And if mom says no and I say yes and I find out that mom says no and I let you go and do something, you're in trouble. This is not, I hope you enjoyed it because this is not going to bode well for you in the end. Literally. No, we are a team and we may not always see eye to eye. No husband or wife will always see eye to eye. But when we know what our biblical roles are and we handle things in a biblical manner, God blesses that and our children flourish from that and our marriages flourish from that and our churches flourish from that. How can you be one flesh if you're constantly tearing the other one to shreds? Number four. Misbehaving renegades. Misplaced roles, malefic rulers, mutinous ribs, and misbehaving renegades. Ephesians 6:1. Children, say it with me. Ready? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for... They know it. Deuteronomy 21, verses 18 to 21 teaches the same thing. We read a bunch of verses before. Hey, young people, all young people, look up here. Stop coloring and drawing zombie pictures of me while I'm preaching. It's a good thing I don't have a personality complex. You just see some of the pictures these kids draw of me. Pastor, look, I drew you. Look up here, kids. You're not in charge. You're not in charge. You're not in charge of your home. You're not in charge of this church. You're not in charge of anything. At all. You want to know what rights you have? The ones your parents give you. Those are the only rights you have. You don't have a right to say, this is my room. No, that's not your room. That's mom's room. That's dad's room. Those drawers, not the ones you wear, the dresser drawers, although the ones you wear too, they're not yours either. We let you stay in our homes. It's a privilege to have a mom and a dad to put a roof over your head, shoes on your feet, food on your table, shut up for Jesus, and obey your parents. You are not right with God if you do anything other than that. The parents are the authority. You, young people, are to submit to that authority. There's no age limit for honoring your parents. I am 40 years old. I still want to honor my mom, even when I share her secrets to the whole church. My mom is aging, going on 90 here in a few years. I want to honor my mom. I will make sure that Stacy has a place for her. I'd let my mom come live with me, but her and my wife would kill each other. Because my mom would clean the house while Sharon was drawing up a list on how to clean the house. You have, children, keep looking up here. You have no rights. You have no privacy. The privacy you have is the privacy we give you. If we don't like the way you're respecting us or responding to us, we will take your door off of its hinges. You will not sleep in a comfortable bed. You will sleep in the basement on the floor while those little hairy bugs with a million legs crawl into your ears. You learn very quickly. Hey, that front seat is not yours. And maybe you should be a little bit less selfish and always want the front seat. And say, who would like to have the front seat in my place? And let the other siblings kill each other over it. Children say, we want the last piece of candy. We want the opportunity at the game. We want the best seats. We're raising selfish. Look, I heard a preacher say one time, we're not raising kids. We're raising adults. Not raising them to be children. I'm raising them to be adults. I'm raising them to have respect. I'm raising them to learn how to work hard. It wasn't torturous for Austin, who's 11 years old, to spend 14 hours here yesterday cleaning and working. 14 hours. I didn't drop him off and say work for 14 hours. Dad was here longer working. I want them to learn that. I want them to understand that. That's why we don't have allowances in our house. Do your chores and you'll get an allowance. No, do your chores or I'm going to kill you. Do your chores because that's how you earn the right of passage in this house. If a man don't work, he ought not eat. Get your chores done and we'll let you have dinner and breakfast and lunch. And I'm being a little bit extreme, but you know, we're losing our kids today. Because mom and dad are scared to death of their children. Hey, Grayson's getting taller. Grayson starts thinking he's going to take on Dad. Dad will break his kneecaps with a Louisville Slugger. Disobedience demands discipline, parents. When your children disobey, they're disobeying God. Why would you let them get away with it? Because they're going to grow up disobeying God, and they're not going to see the consequences from it, and it's your fault because you don't discipline them. Because you'd rather get along with little Johnny and little Susie than put your foot down and say, unacceptable, because you're going against God's word. Unacceptable. You can do all kinds of things as a form of discipline. The Bible talks about when we withhold the rod, when we spare the rod. It won't kill them. It'll help them. Not out of anger. Grabbing hair and shaking your children profusely is child abuse. Throwing things at your children is child abuse. In fact, you're the child. Because you have no control. Disciplining them in love and teaching them what the Word of God says and helping them is what is needed. Firmness. Say, well, I'm a single mom. You're a man. It's a whole lot different. My boys are growing up and they become more challenging. Hey, I've known a lot of single moms that have raised some pretty good children. They didn't back down to their children. Put your foot down and run your home the way it ought to be run. A lot of times, though, that's because you don't want to live the way you ought to live, so you have a hard time teaching your kids to do that. Do you understand? Your children, our children, are a reflection of us. So when we see the faults and failures in our children, why don't we, oops, I messed up there, and make the changes that need to be made. Let me give some help to you parents when it comes to your children. It's your house. Therefore, your rules. Your house, your rules. If you want the kids to bed at 8 o'clock, kids go to bed at 8 o'clock. If little Johnny or little Susie says, well, neighbor Bartholomew goes to bed at 9. Then you go, you know what? You're right. 7:30 now. Want to talk about neighbor Edna next? We can make it 7. These are awesome names, aren't they? So I'm trying to think of names that isn't going to apply to anybody in the church. And if you name your kids Bartholomew and Edna, see me after the service. You need counseling. Your house, your rules. Not the children's rules. Number 2, children should not be allowed to live in a way that contradicts biblical principles. Not happening. Not allowed. Unacceptable. It's work. It's everyday work. It's many times throughout the day work. That's why men who are working jobs and not home all the time, you need to pray for your wives and be behind them while they're home taking care of things and let them know you got problems with mom, you got problems with me. Number 3, don't compromise convictions. I don't care how much older your kids get. Conviction is a conviction, period. Whether they're 8 or whether they're 25. Don't compromise biblical convictions. Number 4, be consistent in your philosophy. Your philosophy of raising children may not be the same as mine. You can't make one do right and not the others. Don't play favorites with your children. Now, children might think that they like them more than they like them, me. That might come across to you that way, children, because you're disobedient and the other one's obedient. With obedience comes blessing. With disobedience comes punishment. So it's not that we're showing favorites. It's one wants to do right and one doesn't. That's why you're finding yourself grounded or in trouble or whatever all the time. And while I think one of the worst punishments, and I've been guilty of doing it at times, I think one of the worst punishments we can do to our children is go to your room. I hate that punishment. Now, I understand go to your room because I need a minute to think things through and then I'll come talk to you. As a punishment, go to your room, I have a problem with that because they're already feeling separated from you. Now you're isolating them even more. When you need to be bonding with them and dealing with the situation. can't have two sets of rules. Now, you can have a rule, Grayson is not going to have to deal with certain things that I would deal with Rowan because of age. The rules stay the same, but the philosophy can be different. I'll let Grayson stay up a little bit longer than I'll let Rowan stay up, just because of what they're able to handle. But I'm not going to say, Grayson, you're allowed to run across the street, Route 22, and Rowan, you're not allowed. No, neither one of you are running across Route 22.
Right.
They're going to have two sets of rules. Now, you can do sin, and you can't. Let me say number five. Parents, when it comes to your children, their threats are idle. Ignore them.
Hey.
See, that's what children do. They get older, they get, well, if you do that, then I'm gonna, really. I accept your challenge. They're idle. You run your home. You lead your home. You guide your home. Number six, if we fail at running our houses right, we have nobody to blame but ourselves. You understand? The society and the culture that is around us, the only way they infiltrate our children is if we allow that influence. Now, I know some of that you just can't avoid. You just walk through the mall and you, what in the world happened to our society? But to a large degree, instead of putting them in this bubble where they'll never see it, but they will one day, and then they'll resent you for it, how about you teach them what the Bible says so they can understand to have compassion on those people who look like they just tripped and fell in a tackle box? Or look like somebody tackled them and attacked their hair with spray paint cans. Or their clothes, they haven't realized that they actually come with belts and they don't have to hang off your backside where you look like an idiot. You can actually pull them up and button them and look like a normal human being. We can teach our children, hey, there's a reason why we dress a certain way. There's a reason why we talk a certain way. There's a reason why we act a certain way. Why we behave a certain way. Why we do things the way that we do them. Why do we do that? Teach that to your children. They need Jesus. They may come from broken homes. They may need somebody to love them. We're not just going to sit here and bash them and tell them they're wicked sinners and they're going to rot in hell forever. We're going to hand them a gospel tract and we're going to show them the love of Christ. Because I want those families that are completely collapsing all around us to be able to meet our families and say, you know what? There's hope. Not we're better than them, looking down on them, condescending towards them. Stay away from us because you'll pollute my children if you make eye contact. But we'll teach our children to walk up and be friendly and courteous and kind in the love of Jesus Christ, hand them a gospel tract and be friendly to them. Because that's what's going to make a difference. Hannah was my soul winning partner last week. We knocked on a door not far from here and man had a big old 4x4 truck with all kinds of things on the back of his truck that were inappropriate. He opened up the door and he had a dog that was the size of a Tyrannosaurus Rex that he was holding back, and I was thanking God because as much as I love Brother Ben and Hannah, Hannah was going first. I don't have to outrun the dog. I just got to outrun the person closest to me. And he opened the door and he went, hold on, and he closed that door and he put that dog away and he came out, and I mean the big gauge earrings and the tattoos and the piercings and stuff stuck in anywhere. There was skin, there was something sticking out of it. And I thought, first of all, I thought, I wonder if Hannah's scared, but then I thought, no, she's a black woman, she ain't afraid of nothing. And as we talked to this guy, I said, we'd love to have you come visit our church. Bring your family. And you could just see the look on his face. He didn't say it, but it was like, really? Do you see this? That's not acceptable at churches. No, it's not about what's stuck in your face. It's about your heart.
Amen.
We'd love to have you out to our church sometime. Our folks would love to meet you. That's what society needs to see that Christianity is about. Not idiots that hold up signs that say, repent or burn in hell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not Westboro Baptist Church.
Amen.
If we want to love people, please, starting at home, let's get our roles where they need to be. The Lord, Dad, Mom, children. But it's not even that way, to be honest with you. It's the Lord, Dad, Mom, children. Just know your role. That's all. Dads aren't better than moms because they're the head. No, that's just the role God gave you. Wives aren't better than their children. No, you have the role God gave you. Children aren't the absolute losers of such. No, God has used children that do things in a biblical way, and God blesses them as they get older. And the more you take your role seriously and honor God, the more God blesses your influence. And lives get changed as a result of it. We don't discipline our children because we have nothing better to do. No, I don't want my children to make the same mistakes I made. Every parent here doesn't want their children to make the same mistakes they made. And now as we learn the Bible and God's principles, we know to our young people, if you would apply these principles and instill them in your life, you're going to have a greater success than I am. I want my children to raise up and be 1,000 times more successful for the Lord than I ever was. And I know my parents wanted that same thing for me. My father's not in church, not living for God, but I know this. My father loves the fact that his son's a preacher and supports me and is proud of me. We want that for our children. Let's do our best to practice it, implement it, and live it at home. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Maybe here today say, I'm not married, or I don't have children yet, or whatever. These principles can still apply. I wouldn't want to date a woman that was just always mouthy. I don't want to waste my time. I wouldn't want to date a man who was possessive and a control freak. And if you don't have children yet, Lord will, you want to someday, you ought to start having some philosophies and principles now about raising your children so that Christ can be honored. You're not going to wake up one morning and decide it's going to happen. You need to start thinking about it, praying about it. Now, before we ever had children, my wife and I talked about different philosophies and principles we'd have in raising them. It doesn't mean we were successful all the time, but I'd rather set sail and hit a rock than sit and rot in a dry dock. I'd rather at least get busy doing something than doing nothing. Maybe you're here today and you'd say, preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. I don't even know for sure that I'm going to heaven. I know I preached a message and used the Bible and all kinds of things. I didn't preach on salvation. The truth is, if there's never been a time in your life when you put your faith and trust completely and wholly in the shed blood of Jesus Christ who died on a cross for your sins and rose from the dead 3 days later, the Bible says you're condemned already according to John chapter 3. And if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I would encourage you to accept Him today. Put your faith and trust in Him today. If you're a man, I can have a man show you from the Bible. If you're a woman, I'll have a lady take the Bible and show you right from the Word of God how you can leave here today with full assurance that your sins are forgiven, Jesus is your Savior, and heaven is your home. It's not about church, it's not about works, it's not about religion, it's about a relationship with the Lord. If you're here today and that's you, and you'd say, preacher, I'd like to know that if Jesus Christ would take me the way that I am, forgive me of my sins, and give me a home in heaven, I want Him to do that. I'd like to make that decision today. Would you slip your hand up? Anyone at all today? Preacher, I don't know for sure that I'm a Christian, but I'd like to know. Maybe with heads bowed and eyes closed, you say, preacher, there was something that the Holy Spirit spoke to my heart about today. I just would like you to pray and I make the right choices and the right decisions, there's something in the message that I just felt God was talking to me about. If that's you today, would you slip your hand up and say, "Preacher, that's me today." Amen. Hands up all over. Wonderful, wonderful. Hands up all over. You may put them down. We all have to know that we need to follow what the Word of God says. And it's a struggle every day. Every day. No difference for the pastor than the layperson. No difference between a husband and a wife. We all struggle with fulfilling our God-given roles because our flesh wants to do something completely different. We need to follow the Holy Spirit. That's where that victory comes from. The piano begins to play. The altar's open. Anyone needs to come forward to pray. Spend some time today in prayer.